This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You bitch! No idea how bad it gets.
Sally, I think I'll buy the flowers myself.
But you're not a girl, you're a guy. And why would a guy want to marry a guy?
Don't stomp your little last season Prada shoes at me, honey.
John Callio, will you go around with me?
Don't fuck with me, fellas!
Oh, I feel so damn sick and dirty. I can't stand it anymore.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Is butter a curve?
I had a hunch you might be a real romantic.
We were decoys. He used us as bait. We procured for you.
We could have had a good life together. Fucking real good life. But you need water, Dennis. So what we got now is Brokeback Mountain.
You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9, the queerest film show in all the world. Daniel, Alan, Gina and Conrad taking you through for the next hour. Welcome, everyone.
It's a full house.
In unison. Welcome. Oh, thanks.
This is, I think, the first time that we've had the whole team in the studio, so it's a momentous occasion.
Good luck to all of us trying to get a word in this evening.
But it is a momentous occasion because today is the Emmys.
That's right.
Emmys has just aired, so spoiler alert, people who are, you know, don't want to know what happened at the Emmys,
keep listening. Yeah. Don't switch the channel.
We'll tell you when to turn off. How's that?
Yeah.
But I think we're using it as a springboard to a broader conversation, which we've been following for some time here on Outtakes, which is the importance of diversity on screen. Yes, we are a film show. We usually look at it in the context of, you know, cinema and film. But tonight we're focusing on the silver screen, on the small screen, because in so many respects, it is television that is leading the way.
Absolutely.
That's right. And just as a point of order, that is a prize. There is an Emmy for the best television movie. So
television
movie, that's film. That's
okay.
Cinema.
That we bring back.
So you know, it's a tenuous link, but it's a link nonetheless.
Oh, you're talking about the Emmys. I thought you were talking about our giveaway, because we've got a giveaway tonight, don't we?
Yeah, we do have a giveaway.
Let's lead to that, why don't we?
That's
seamless segue, guys.
We're
off to a great start.
We are very lucky. We have a double pass to the 2016 Lavazza Italian Film Festival.
Oh.
And it's taking place at Palace Cinemas, as usual. This year, here in Melbourne, it's between September 15 to October 9.
Love that festival. Mm.
And so we would like to give this prize away tonight to one of our lucky listeners who writes in to let us know what is your favourite TV show and why.
You know, we've already had a message in.
Have we?
Ooh. Yeah. It's not a TV show. Is that Conrad's voice I hear?
It is.
Anonymous.
Oh, wow.
It
Welcome
is me.
Back. It's been a while since we've had you on the program, Conrad.
It's been about a month.
It's good to have you back in the studio.
Nice to be back.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, if people want to follow suit and message in and tell us what your favourite TV show is and why. It's not a very high hurdle, and it's a great prize tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we all love TV, so, you know, and we could talk about it for hours. But we have one.
We actually went meant to dress up tonight as well. Yeah, I think we all got a bit lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll save it for the Oscars next year.
Okay, done.
Definitely.
Yep.
Black tie.
Black tie.
Red carpet.
The Oscars are not, we won't talk about Oscars and diversity, so we'll just leave that for another time.
Well, there were some implicit comparisons being drawn to the Oscars at the show, at the Emmys, weren't there, which was interesting.
Well, I think the Emmys got it right this year.
Because, of course, there was...
But was it tokenistic?
Well, I mean, that's a question and something we'll unpack throughout the program. But, you know, clearly there was a lot of controversy at Oscars time earlier this year because there was just not a whole lot of diversity in the pool of nominees.
Well, it had a hashtag, Oscars So White.
You know you're in trouble when you got a hashtag.
You got a hashtag, exactly.
But isn't it too, you know, television's always been looked at as the, you know, poor cousin to film. So I think whenever film gets, TV gets the opportunity to stick it to the film community, they're like, look how diverse we are. Look how amazing we are. Yeah. It's very clever.
But when it comes to diversity, television is really not the poor cousin, is it? Because it's
not anymore.
On so many fronts, it kind of leads the way, particularly the question of diversity, trans representation, representation of people of colour. Television really does lead the way. And this is what Jimmy Kimmel, you know, really fantastically was getting at in his opening monologue. This is Jimmy Kimmel at the Emmys.
Fortunately for everyone in this room, there are more shows and more roles than ever before and more diversity than ever before. This year's nominees are the most diverse ever. And here in Hollywood, the only thing we value more than diversity is congratulating ourselves on how much we value diversity. I'll tell you, the Emmys are so diverse this year, the Oscars are now telling people we're one of their closest friends.
Well, there you go. I mean, these comparisons being drawn the whole way through, I think.
Oh, he continued throughout the show to sort of make those, you know, kind of congratulate a white person next to you for being so brave. He really pushed that kind of diversity comment. And also Trump. Trump was kind of... Was trumped.
He was trolled, right?
But dumped.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of expected, but it is always nice.
It is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to say, it's pretty hard to be diverse when all Hollywood is pumping out these days is just another Marvel movie.
Oh, God.
You know?
And so many Marvel TV.
You can have diverse costumes.
But I think the wonderful thing about TV is that with the new kind of streaming outlets, there's just so much opportunity. And I think that was something that Viola Davis kind of got right in her speech when she won an award last year, and she was actually the first woman of colour to win an award for outstanding actress in a drama series. And she said the only thing that separates women of colour from anyone else is opportunity. You cannot win an Emmy for roles that simply are not there. And I think that's been the problem with the Oscars. You know, it's not that people aren't, you know, nominating people for some kind of malicious reasons, because there simply aren't the roles to platform those careers.
And if they are there, we never hear about them because there's these teeny tiny films that are buried under Marvel / Batman v Superman / whatever other thing
franchise
is out there.
I think that also leads through to the idea of blind casting.
Well, yes.
Which I think we might be touching on a little bit later on tonight. The idea of actually casting people for these roles independent of their ethnicity or their diversity.
But you balance that on the one hand, and then calls for things like quotas and being very conscious of who you're casting. And look, it's a hard conversation. It's a fraught conversation. There's no one right way to do it. But what is clear is that there is a conversation, and I think that's what we're celebrating tonight. The fact that people are talking about the importance of diversity and the importance of representation. And that's a conversation that I think was captured so well in the recent Seeing Ourselves report, which we spoke about a few weeks ago. I'm going to look at in much more depth tonight as well.
I mean, as was sort of covered, that covered 199 Australian dramas, and it, you know, looked at a period between 2011 and 2015. So we're going to be looking at that again tonight, and we've actually got someone great who's going to be an expert on that.
That's right. We're going to be talking to Michael Ebert, who is the CEO and Managing Director of SBS. So he'll be joining us online.
He'll be joining us very shortly. Just before we take a listen to some messages, we have already had some messages of our own come in.
Oh.
Yeah, so Nick from Caulfield said his favourite television show of all time is The Nanny, which I love. However, for diversity, he loves Orange is the New Black.
You are listening to Outtakes.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Outtakes here on Joy 94.9, looking at diversity in television.
And we're joined on the phone tonight with Michael Ebert, who is the CEO and Managing Director of SBS. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, Alan. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. Long time no see.
Well, no longer I speak as well, yeah.
I think last time I saw you was in the toilets at the Midwinter Ball at Crown Palladium a couple of years ago.
Of course.
Oh, gosh, what a way to start it.
I know. Well, know, trust me, trust me to lower the tone.
As much as Alan would like to talk about who knows what this evening, we are looking at diversity on TV. And, Michael, obviously you're aware of the fantastic report released just weeks ago, Seeing Ourselves, a survey into diversity on TV, and some really, well, I don't know that they were surprising results to come out of that report. Surprising on some fronts, but perhaps not so surprising on other fronts. What's your take on the Seeing Ourselves report?
Look, I think it was a timely reminder, really, of a whole lot of national debate that's been going on ever since, really, I think, the Logies earlier this year, when we had that whole silly debate about, you know, Waleed Ali and Li Ling Ching, and how surprised people were that they were actually nominated for a Gold Logie. And, you know, since then we've been really talking a lot about the importance of, you know, I think, you know, mainstream media reflecting what you'd see down the main street of all our cities and towns around the country. Because I think, you know, what we all know is that our TV doesn't necessarily reflect that in a lot of our shows, and even in our newsrooms, when you think about, say, all the breakfast shows in the morning, 7, 9, Sunrise, Today, and even the ABC, you know, you would think that you were looking at, you know, Australian TV in the 60s and 70s because the newsrooms haven't really changed that much over the time. Mm-hmm. I think, obviously, SBS is a bit of an exception. And so, you know, when you then start to think about our dramas and our... you know, series that have been running for years, they're very traditional in that sense, but they haven't kept up with what today's demographics looks like on the main street.
Well, that is something that I think SBS has done perhaps better than any other media outlet here in this country, certainly. It does keep up with the person on the street. And I think, as you yourself have said, diversity, it's more than a buzzword at SBS. Mm. It's your way of operating.
That's right. I think, you know, for us, it's our DNA. I mean, you know, we were set up, you know, years ago, 35 years ago, to be very much a multicultural broadcaster. And you know, people often say, well, what does that mean exactly? And for me, it's really just about a network that celebrates and showcases diversity in all its forms, whether that be race, culture, sexuality. You know, we celebrate diversity in all its forms, and we like to show how and why diversity matters in a country, particularly a country that's been built on immigration like Australia. Mm. And, of course, you know, the other question I get asked a lot is, you know, why is it important for us to really reflect what the nation actually looks like?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, because it's an important question. A lot of people who don't really stop to think about it think, what's the big deal, you know? Mm-hmm. And I sometimes actually, if I may give you two examples that I think, you know, sums it up really well. You know, I'm an Australian that was brought up in Sydney. My parents are both Egyptian, so naturally I've got olive skin. I look reasonably Middle Eastern. Alan knows exactly what I look like.
Clearly. So do we all now.
You know, when I was a kid growing up and I was watching, you know, Neighbours, Home and Away, all those sort of shows, it was all Caucasian. You never saw yourself reflected on TV. Mm. And you kind of can't help but wonder where you fit in and whether you belong in a society and a culture. And, you know, since SBS launched the NITV, the National Indigenous Television Show, you know, I had this amazing moment where I was in a room full of little Indigenous kids, and they were watching the very first Indigenous kids program that we'd ever made, and it was all Indigenous kids. And to see themselves reflected on a TV set was so exciting for them because they just weren't used to seeing black faces on the screen.
Yeah.
And when you see yourself reflected on the screen, you know you belong. When you see yourself reflected on a drama series, whether you're, you know, Asian, whether you're Middle Eastern, whether you're from wherever in the world, whether you're blonde and blue-eyed, and as handsome as Alan is. But you see yourself reflected and you think, well, you know, I belong to this society, I belong here. And that's a really important part in a nation that is full of migrants, to have people feel like they belong and that they're not an outsider.
Absolutely. Michael, it's Conrad here. I don't think any of us would disagree with you about representation on the screen. And it's obviously something that's extremely important. But you mentioned in an article that you wrote for SBS recently about a new program to provide opportunities for behind-the-camera talent from diverse backgrounds to get into SBS productions. What exactly is that program and what is it hoping to achieve?
What that's about is really to say it's not just about what's in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about to get that true representation, and one of the reasons why I think SBS has led the way on some of this is because when you look behind the scenes, our organisation is incredibly diverse. Mm-hmm. You know, we have something like 42% of our employees were born overseas, and something like 48% actually speak another language other than English. And when you have that diversity of thinking, you will automatically think about reflecting diversity in your scripts, in your news report, the sort of news that you cover, etc., etc.
Mm.
And so, you know, it's important that that diversity of thinking is what drives then the programming that you actually buy, make, schedule, report on, etc. That's a really important part of it. And I think, you know, when I think about the programs we've got at SBS that makes that a reality, how do we actually bring that to life? We will go to universities, for example, for our news cadets, and we will intentionally look for a really wide array of diverse background faces, cultures, religions, to ensure that our intake of young graduate university students, journalists, young journalists, actually are diverse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we train them up, etc. We've got training programs with Indigenous people to make sure that we're training up the next generation of filmmakers and documentary makers who are Indigenous, who can tell Indigenous stories in a way that no white man could ever go into an Indigenous remote regional community and sit down and get some of the amazing stories that we're able to get if we sent an Indigenous journalist, for example,
sure,
or an Indigenous filmmaker.
So
we have programs throughout the organisation that actually encourages the recruitment of people with diversity, and that really goes to the GLBT community as well.
Mm.
You know, we recently did a employee survey on a whole bunch of things, and one of the things that came out of it at the end of the survey was about, you know, diversity stats. And it was really surprising to me that, you know, over 13% of our organisation related to being LGBTQI. I thought that was an amazing for our organisation.
I think that actually goes over and above the average
representation.
I think in the last census,
we know that 11% of the community is LGBT, but on screen it's just 5% of the on-screen community.
Yeah, only 5% are represented on screen.
I think what you were speaking about before, Michael, really goes to this point about there being a business case. TV, you know, it's very easy to be idealistic about it's show business, but at the end of the day, you know, there's the show and there's the business. Is there a business case for more diversity on screen?
Look, I think so, because I think it's also a moral business case. It's the right thing to do.
About the right thing to do, or do they care about the bottom dollar?
Yeah, look, obviously it's got to be both.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to make sure that your programming is still appealing, that it's interesting. Your scripts, I think, need to be inclusive of society to reflect who we are as a nation. Because at the end of the day, you know, when you think about why do we make Australian dramas and Australian films and you know, movies, it's not just about business, because, you know, most of our productions lose money in Australia and they're mostly funded or there's a contribution by Screen Australia or, you know, Screen Victoria, etc. And we do it and we invest taxpayers' money into it because it's important to tell our Australian stories and have our culture captured for future generations and for our current society to actually reflect ourselves on screen and talk about our own stories. Otherwise, when you switch on the screen, you know, we're going to have wall-to-wall American or UK content like we probably did in the early days. And I don't think that will help us as a nation know who we are, share our stories and our culture. And so if we're going to go to that trouble of capturing Australian stories and culture, then how can you do that with only, you know, representing half of who we are as a nation?
Yeah, that's right, Michael. And, Michael, we'd like to thank you for joining us on air tonight. And thank you for your thoughts.
As a parting gift to us, Michael, if we were to head to, you know, you've got such, we were talking about this before, actually, particularly the selection of LGBT movies available on demand, on SBS
Demand, yeah.
When it comes to diversity, what is the program you would direct people to at SBS?
For general diversity or for GLBT?
One of each, why not?
You've got about 32 films on your slate now. I just checked it out the other day.
Drama last year called The Principal, which starring Alex Demetriadis in a school in the western suburbs that really reflected Australia's true diversity day. It was a fantastic drama.
Yeah, well,
I highly recommend that one.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of a GLBT type movie, and as you mentioned, then, you know, if you go on to SBS On Demand, we've got an entire section devoted to GLBT movies. But we're about to launch, if I can give us a quick plug.
Ooh, yes. Please do.
In early October, I think on the 4th of October, a new four-part drama called Deep Water. And it's all about the gay hate crimes and the murders, the unsolved murders from the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
Some of you may remember that there was a spate of about 80 different murders, of which there's about 38 of them are still unsolved to today because the police in those days didn't want to know about it because they didn't care about gay people being murdered.
Mm.
And they would often say to people who went into a police station to complain about being gay bashed, oh, well, you know, what do you expect? You deserve it. You're a fag.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a terrible time for our community. And we've done this amazing four-part drama. Noah Taylor... it really is going to be fantastic, and so look out for Deep Water on SBS in early October.
Brilliant.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. You too. You guys do an amazing job at Joy. Well done.
Thanks.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah. So much to work with there.
Absolutely. I know for myself, my parents seeing George Danikian on the news on SBS in the 80s was such a big deal. We never had anyone to sort of look at. And there was George Danikian, Greek Armenian, on the screens presenting the news. But SBS do so much. How do we get the other broadcasters to do the same thing? I mean, it's in their charter to show diversity, to show cultural diversity, sexual diversity. It's actually in their charter. So how do we get all the other channels to do that, to commission content by producers to be making that work?
I think that's why something like the Emmys, you know, if we take it to an international context for a moment, is so important because there's nothing better for ratings than an Emmy Award. I don't think so. I don't think. And so when producers see these TV shows picking up awards, shows like Transparent, shows like RuPaul's Drag Race winning an Emmy, you know, it's massive.
Yeah.
And you just can't calculate the effect that that will have, not just for a program like Drag Race, but for people watching that program and identifying with it. So we are celebrating the Emmys tonight in this broader look at diversity on screen. And we've asked everyone to message in, tell us what your favourite TV show is, tell us what the most diverse TV show is. And we've had a few messages in already.
Yeah, so Nick loved The Nanny. Craig loves The Original Prisoner, although he says it seems so tame watching reruns now more than 30 years later. I highly recommend you watch the reboot then. because that's not tame. Not tame.
They haven't done an I'm on the I'm press you. I can't say the words.
Yeah, they have.
Have they?
Yeah, a few times. Oh, yeah, get into it. Oh, and also, we've got PA has messaged in. He's got too many to mention, but anything that makes me laugh when I'm feeling down, I think that's something that's universal, right? Yeah. So he put Big Bang Theory, The Project, and any of the late night US TV shows. He also mentioned Blue Bloods because it's got lots of values and morals in the script. Sounds terrible. And, just kidding.
With Tom Selleck.
Yeah, and then he wrote, yeah, I think that's what, oh, Tom Selleck. Okay. Yeah,
it's
I get it.
It's worth watching for Tom.
And he said, oh, this is the best. Don't judge me, but been getting into Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. Cultural and diversity issues on that show. Clearly, I was too young to realize when it was on years ago. I'm running out and buying the box set. Quinn, Jane Seymour. I'm in.
Oh, it's Jane Seymour's sidekick who he's interested in watching. The long flowing hair. Oh, yeah.
Scully,
yeah,
right. Something.
Oh, yeah. Wow. We've got a lot of Dr. Q fans in the house.
Look, there's clearly so much diverse content on TV, but I think for me one of the standouts of this awards season, this Emmys program, was seeing RuPaul take out an award for Best Host. And you could hear when he won the award how shocked he was.
Pretty amazing. Mm-hmm.
Because RuPaul's been on for years now. The Drag Race.
How many seasons are they up to now?
Is it 8 seasons?
Wow.
Well, yeah. There's 7 seasons on Netflix or Stan.
And 2 All-Star season. And before that, he had his own talk show. He's been in the industry for a really, really long time. 35 years, I think he said. And only now is he starting to be recognized. And I think that's because, there simply wasn't recognition for LGBT talent on TV or people of color on TV or, any of these kind of minority groups just weren't getting it. And so for him, after 35 years to finally get it, I mean, it's understandable why he was so kind of beside himself.
Mm.
Anyway, this is...
I thought you were about to play a clip there, Daniel.
I was about to play a clip. Okay. So this is RuPaul winning.
Oh, good.
It's very overwhelming, and it's just happened a few minutes ago, so I'm still in shock. I'm still not sure if I'm dreaming or not, honestly. I think about all the kids who watch this show all over the world who finally have an emotional navigation system. The show and the hundreds of girls who've come through our show have told their stories so graciously and have really helped young people around the world navigate their lives. And I think I'm the most proud of that.
Clearly tearing up there.
Yes. Can I get an emotional amen up in here? I love him. This is the best reality TV show on television. Hands down.
It's pretty damn good.
The whole point of it, not even just, like he said, the diversity part of it, but it shows this whole other side of particularly gay culture that is marginalized across the board. And it shows that, put aside the entertainment value and the kind of fun parts that they do, they're seriously a true community. Like, they fight like a family, but they come together. And the rest of the GLBTI could learn a lot from that.
Well, this is
because
something
that's the way that they communicate is so powerful.
It's something that Gina and I were looking at when we had our drag show a few weeks back and had Panty Bliss on the program. The sheer bravery of drag queens and this sense of drag family. And, when Gina and I were kind of grappling towards this idea of what makes a drag film a drag film, it was, you're not kind of gender crossing, you're not kind of hiding behind another gender, you're actually celebrating that other gender.
True advocates, true heroes, absolutely. Yeah.
John Waters used to call has called drag queens in the past like the front line of the GLBTI community.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so cool when he said that because it makes sense. Like, if you're in it, they're like the soldiers that take all the crap so everyone else can kind of get on with what they
have
to
do. And I think we covered in that drag show when maybe for yourselves, in the time that we were going out and going to clubs, we looked quite invisible leaving, but our drag brothers and sisters did not wipe off that makeup and put themselves out there. And that's the true bravery because they were the ones.
Well, this is really RuPaul talking about the importance of drag and of Drag Race.
I think what our show represents is the tenacity of the human spirit. And, the 100-plus girls who have graciously told their story on our show have really helped so many young people around the world who get our show not only on Logo and VH1, which is where it's on right now, but on Netflix and other formats. And who, you know, these young people who now have the people to help them navigate their own unique stories. And I think that's really what this show is about. I came here thinking, wow, I got invited to the prom, and I'm going to dance my ass off tonight. But I didn't expect that I would have this in my hand when I was dancing tonight. It's a very, very special night, not just for me, but for all of the young people around the world who dance to the beat of a different drummer.
And I think that comes back to what Michael was talking about, too, the importance of seeing yourself reflected on the screen. And we know that TV does that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Does it so well.
While we're celebrating all things RuPaul, all things TV, I thought we'd dance to the beat of RuPaul's drum for just a moment. So this is RuPaul with Sissy That Walk.
That wow. That wow.
You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9, where we are celebrating the Emmys and looking at the wonderful, diverse world of television. And we've asked you to message in and tell us what your favourite diverse TV show is, and everyone's been messaging in. So Nikki says Orange is the New Black is diversity heaven. Ryan from Brighton says his favourite TV show is The Recruit. Then Jamie from East Brighton says that her favourite show is RuPaul because she slays and she is so empowering, strong and fierce. And RuPaul is definitely all of those things.
For real.
Richard says the best TV shows can be watched again and again, like Kath and Kim. Not overly diverse, but definitely explores so many issues in its irony. And I would say that Kath and Kim is diverse.
Cause it's hugely diverse.
Yeah, and
Monkey Bites on Magda Savansky, I mean.
No, Nice.
And then Tim from Clifton Hill has messaged in to say, hi, guys. I love House of Cards and Game of Thrones. Congrats to RuPaul and Ben Mendelsohn. Mm. And yes, of course, Ben Mendelsohn. Great to see an Aussie picking up gold.
Mm. Yes. For Bloodline, which is a very good series, actually.
Is it?
Very good, yeah.
I've heard it's pretty dark and pretty intense. Mm.
It is. Mm. It is very, very intense.
At the Emmys this year, there were so many LGBT inclusive series, and when I was reading through the list, I really loved the fact that a lot of them were in comedy, but they weren't making fun of us, which is always nice for a change.
There's nothing better than a self-conscious comedy.
And there's some really great ones in here, Master of None, Blackish, Modern Family, obviously, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, we love Titus, and Veep as well. There were so many other great ones, but obviously one that everyone was talking about this evening that picked up 3 awards, which was Transparent. Mm.
Absolutely. Oh, God, what? And, you know, it's interesting because you see it in the comedy category and you think, wait, is Transparent?
Yeah,
it's
not a comedy.
I don't agree with that.
I don't understand that one at all in that category. I'm glad
you won. It's got a certain whimsy to it. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I would call it a drama. Well, let's call it a dramedy. We'll settle somewhere in the middle.
It has usually a laugh-out-loud moment, like maybe once every couple of episodes.
Yeah.
Mm. And the rest of it, you just kind of like... Oh,
what gets me about Transparent, particularly the first season, for me, less as much the second season, but in Transparent in general, is the writing. I mean, this is some solid writing, some really, really good writing, and we just don't see it enough on TV. I thought Looking had it. Of course, I'm devastated Looking didn't take the sweep of the Emmys, but Transparent has really strong writing.
And what I recommend, if anyone is actually interested in seeing what a script looks like from Emmy winning show, you can actually at this point in time download the scripts for the Emmy nominated shows. Cool. And I highly recommend it to anyone who's actually interested in how does it actually translate from paper to screen. I'll send the link to Daniel so he can put it up on the Facebook page, because it's actually great to sort of see how they do it. And the pilot episode of Transparent is a brilliant example to see how that kind of translates. And it's great writing that does it. It's the story that does it.
Now, Transparent has gotten itself in a little bit of hot water lately.
Really?
There has been a broader debate across Hollywood, across the TV and film world about casting men in trans roles. And, of course, Mark Ruffalo is the center of that debate at the moment. Mm. But Transparent has certainly copped its fair share. And I think the wonderful thing was that, regardless of what you think about the debate, Jeffrey Tambor very nobly acknowledged that debate when he won an award for Best Actor in a series. So this is what Jeffrey Tambor said when he took out the Emmy earlier this evening.
To you people out there, you producers and you network owners and you agents and you creative sparks, please give transgender talent a chance. Give them audition. Give them their story. Do that. And also, one more thing. I would not be unhappy were I the last cisgender male to play it. Female transgender on television.
I love that he did that just as the music was cutting him off, and he basically told the band off and said stop and made that speech. So well done.
A very political speech, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But that's the wonderful thing about a show like Transparent. It is clearly, perhaps unfortunately, a political show, because there has to be a political gender around representation sometimes. And Transparent, while it has that clear purpose and function, is also, you know, the writing is so excellent. The characters are so excellent. Mm. They're so well developed. You can't help but fall in love with this program.
Okay. I mean, the characters just, at the same time you want to hate them, you just want to hug them. And that's, and to be able
to do
that.
Good writer.
It's a sign of a great writer to have so many unlikable characters that you will keep following week after week.
That episode in the second season around the wedding, I think personified everything to me about why I just hated them all so much but wanted the best for them. I was trying to explain it to someone. They said, why would you watch something that you hate all the people on it? I was like, well, I don't really hate them. And then I was reading that Caitlyn Jenner has got quite a prominent role in season 3.
In the
3.
Next season, I read that too.
And I'm really intrigued. And Jill Soloway was saying that people have already been like, how could you, you know, include her and everything?
Really?
And she said, just wait. watch the show, mm-hmm. and then you'll get it.
Well, unfortunately, well, I think people do judge before they actually watch, and that happens a lot. But I do trust Jill Soloway because she's done such a wonderful job with this series. And the brilliant thing is it's all based on her own life experience. Her father transitioned at a very late stage, and she, in fact, called him Moppa, which is what Jeffrey Tambor's character is called.
Is she Gabby? Like, really, when you kind of read her personal...
Well, do you think it's all of them, though?
I was reading she did a talk with Bell Hooks, who is, of course, a very well-respected and renowned feminist, and she was just, like, you know, so excited to be speaking with Bell Hooks. So I think she is Gabby.
Oh, really?
But and you got that. You got that earlier this evening when she gave her speech, because she did win an award. She won for Best Direction for an episode. This is what Jill Soloway had to say when she took out the award.
People ask me if it's hard to be a director, and I tell them, no, life is very hard. I get to just make my dreams come true. It's a privilege, and it also creates privilege when you take women, people of color, trans people, queer people, and you put them at the center of the story, these subjects instead of the objects. You change the world, we found out. We found out. This TV show allows me to take my dreams about unlikable Jewish people, queer folk, trans folk, and make them the heroes.
Well, you heard the music playing her off. But what a great speech. I mean, you can see how she puts together this program because she is so politically minded, but clearly such a talent as well. So we are talking TV here on Outtakes this evening, celebrating the Emmys, celebrating all things diverse about TV. More coming up right after this.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Now, earlier in the week, there were some other Emmys that were run. So not all of the episodes that, or not all of the nominees were on today's Emmys. There were some awards the other week, and one of my favourite web series that was nominated was Her Story.
Her Story. I just was introduced to this series over the weekend.
Told ya.
And I have to say, I really enjoyed it. And we should note as well that this is the first year that there's been a category for web series, isn't it?
Something about long short form or something.
This is an example of the Emmys board really trying to stay current, trying to move with the times. That's clearly what they've done with their pool of nominees here as well. They're clearly some kind of political motive, which is important at this stage. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's great to see them kind of moving with web series.
It's just great to see a series being nominated. I mean, okay, spoiler, they didn't win, and but they've won by just being nominated. Mm. It's a self-funded web series of, I think it's, what is it, six episodes of eight minute slots, which I highly recommend everyone watches.
But they pack a lot into 8 minutes, don't they?
They do.
Absolutely. Mm. And what it's done is it's created so much opportunity for the creators of that show.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the characters, Violet, Jen Richards, who some people know from I Am Kate, she's now been picked up for Nashville.
I know, go figure.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and all of them are starting to get picked up on primetime TV shows. So, done, her story. They're just...
Well, here's a taste of her story.
I had always thought myself firmly on the progressive side of every issue. But like too many in our community, I thought my tacit acceptance of the reality of trans people was sufficient. I never questioned their total absence from my world. I now see that our great disservice is not just to those we've excluded, but to ourselves. For our world is less rich without their stories, their laughter, their voices. It's less that the world has changed for trans people and simply that we are seeing them as people. As our brothers and sisters, our parents and children, our colleagues, even our friends.
That, I think, was probably one of the most powerful parts of the entire series, where she really crystallizes what it's like, especially for members of the LGBTI community who don't know trans people.
Yeah.
So she's gone on a voyage of discovery.
Yeah, and it's just such a universal story that I think anyone can connect with, because it is about falling in love and being in a relationship, and it doesn't really matter who you're in love with, and it's just such an amazing little web series, so I highly recommend
it. But I love that clip because I think it comes back to something that Jill Soloway said when she won the Emmy earlier this evening, which is that we're shifting, you know, trans people, queer people, LGBT people are becoming subjects rather than objects. And yes. I think that's what that clip was about. And it's so encouraging to hear that. It's so encouraging to see that not just on the big screen, but on the small screen, and also in web series.
It's brilliant.
Also so many wonderful nominees and winners that we didn't get to discuss this evening. Sarah Paulson, for instance, who was radiant on the red carpet.
Have you got the list there?
Tatiana Maslany. Yeah. Yes. So many. So many great people.
And I love that everyone got to thank their wives. All the lesbians got to thank their wives. Some did get cut off by the music.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people getting cut off by the music.
Oh.
It happens. Happens to all of us, right? Sorry, Alan. Sorry. We're going to have to cut you off.
Yeah, you're talking about the topic.
So, again, a really inclusive bunch of nominees, really inclusive bunch of TV shows. Mm. And I think it does come back to the broader discussion that society is having now about what we see on TV and why what we see on TV is so important.
Absolutely. Big thanks to Michael Abid from SBS as well for speaking with us.
Thanks, Michael.
That's it for Outtakes for another week.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.